This is Carrie. It's good to be here with you with Professor Clive Griffin Braemar.
Hello.
And we have novelist and football fan David Ware also joining us today.
Hello.
All right, let's get right into it and look back at what's been happening since the last time we spoke, Professor. This week's agenda, we're going to talk about the Favita and also the controversy surrounding reckless tackles. But first, let's touch on what we spoke about last week. There was an incident that relates to the over the line.
Yes, indeed. The discussion last week was about the ball going over the line, obviously originating from the Frank Lampard disallowed goal and some other incidents in the Premiership. And it's an interesting observation that I made in the Burnley-Preston game on Saturday, where the Burnley player struck the ball towards the goal. It was parried by a Preston defender near the line and into the path of the goalkeeper, who managed to scoop it out. But the linesman, very sharp-eyed in this case, actually saw that the ball had gone over the line when the goalkeeper had scooped it out. So, gave a goal and was spot on because he got it absolutely right. Now, the point I'm making is, if he can do that, why can't the others do that? And obviously, this is where we need the technology, because not all linesmen are in the right position at the right time to be able to see that. And the technology will work.
David, last week we spoke about a ball that the professor had created that can actually vocally alert you to when the ball passes over the line in various languages. How do you feel about that?
Well, Carrie, that is certainly... that's like something out of a science fiction novel and adds a whole new dimension, I think, to the game. It changes the nature of the game fundamentally. I'm not sure whether that would be a good thing. No, that's quite radical. I wasn't prepared for that at all.
Well, actually, it's not out of a science fiction novel. It's actually science fact, because we're doing it.
Well, Professor Clive, if that's the kind of thing that you're doing, then I have to accept that it must be time well spent. From my point of view, watching games as often as I can, I must say I quite like the whole kind of human error of the game. I think it adds something to it. Maybe this would detract from the controversy and contention that fans seem to thrive on.
Ah, yes, but this is the problem, you see. I mean, you don't want to have an elimination from the World Cup again through a bad refereeing decision. I mean, a lot rides on that, not least my £10 bet on England.
We don't want to alienate the purists of the game, Clive. So I can see both arguments, but let's move on to the Favita. And last week we spoke a little bit about an idea you were working on of Capello in three places at once. What's happening with Favita, Professor?
Yes, well, this stems from the fact that a couple of weeks ago, Fabio Capello had to go to three games in the Premiership on the same day. And at the end of it, he looked thoroughly fed up by the end of it. Now, I had the idea, why not have Fabio go to one game and then have avatars of Fabio going to the other games? Well, of course, Avatar is a film and it's way in the future, 100 years in the future, according to the science fiction. But it can be done in a certain way, and I decided to call it Favitar because it's rather topical. Now, what you do is you can create robots, which you can then make up to look like the manager in question, in this case, Fabio, and send them to the games that Fabio doesn't really want to go to watch. And we can have a link in to Fabio himself so that he can receive up-to-date information about the what's happening in the football game. And the way we do this is to analyse Fabio's thought processes and implant them into the Favitars so that they can actually communicate on those wavelengths with Fabio, and the thoughts can be transferred to Fabio. He can understand them. It's instantly recognisable to him, you see, because they're based on his thought processes.
Okay. David, I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And also, in addition to what you think about the Favita, are we ignoring the fact that Favita may not actually have any players to look at?
Well, Carrie, that's, I think, in the context of England, I think you might have hit on something there. I mean, as I say, I like to watch football from different countries when I get the chance, and I must say it seems to me that the English league is quite mundane compared to some of the other kinds of football that you can see now. I have various satellites, and I see football from a lot of different places. And
okay, I didn't want to take you off topic and off message. Bringing you back to the Favatar points, do you think there is a place for that in the game itself, not just in the English game?
Well, I think the last film that I saw in a multiplex, actually, some years ago, was a film called I, Robot, which I know is based on a book by Isaac Asimov. And this, Professor Clive, this idea seems to be something to do with that kind of world. And actually, I think it's rather appealing, quite brilliant, particularly in the light of the kind of boring English football that the English manager would have to watch to select his team, carry, as you said. So I think it's a great idea.
So you're saying that
I think it's a winner.
So you're saying that that English football is rather robotic. Well, I suppose that's Fabio's problem, and it's something that I'm just looking from the technical point of view to make the job easier. But I can see your point. Yes.
What do these robots look like, Clive?
Well, you can make them look like anybody. In fact, what we've done
preferably not.
Well, what we've done actually is to have some prototypes which we've been trialling with an out-of-work manager at three Premiership clubs.
Do tell us who.
I'm not at liberty to reveal the manager, I'm afraid, at the moment, because it's rather hush hush everything. And
I'm racking my brains.
you can rack away, but I don't think you're going to get there. But anyway, you managed to program the avatars with this particular manager's thought processes, and he said it'd rather it's a little bit confusing because he wasn't used to the process of all the feedback coming back to him. But I think it shows promise, and there's some adjustments we have to make, of course, before we actually prepare the whole process for the great man. But we're on the way.
I think that sounds to me that almost makes me want to go away and write first chapter of my next novel. It sounds really...
Oh, please let me read it when you do. I'd be delighted if you include some of my ideas in there. Yes, wonderful.
All right, lastly, Clive, it feels like we have underreacted to reckless tackles lately and ignored all the warning signs, but you have not.
Well, yes. Now, as we saw on the weekend, Gary Cahill was sent off for Bolton when he made a rather reckless tackle on an Arsenal player by the sideline. Now, people are arguing whether it was a sending off, but as it was, it was a rather reckless tackle, and he took the player out. Cattermole was also received one of his yellow cards was for a reckless tackle as well. Now, this is a problem that raises its ugly head every week. How do defenders time their tackles? No, not every defender is as subtle and as silky as Bobby Moore was, who could time his tackles to perfection. It seems that players just lunge in at the earliest opportunity and take the player and not the ball. Now, we've decided to try and help the defenders, or in the case of someone like Ian Wright and Paul Scholes, the attackers who think that they're defenders, and to actually give them some kind of technological aid which can help them to time their tackles better. We call it the tackleometer. Now, the tackleometer is based, there is a chip in the player's boot, and it is designed, is based on bat sonar. We've studied the sonar given out by a number of bat species. We've isolated the best one, and the sonar, which is used on the chip in the boot, is programmed to respond only to the ball. So what happens is, as the defender approaches the attacker who's taken the ball through, he comes into tackle, the sonar in the boot can tell him precisely when the right moment to tackle occurs, and so he can get his boot in and get the ball without taking out the player. So it teaches the defender not to take out the player, but to take out the ball. And we're trialling it at the moment, and we think that it'll be a very good addition to the field of play.
Interesting. David?
Once again, Clive, Professor Clive, is staggering me with the technological...
Is this going to get people back to playing football? Because you know that there's nothing that despises the fans more than seeing these reckless tackles and leg-breaking tackles, effectively.
Well, I think that's a very key philosophical point regarding the Gary Cahill tackle. I watched a little bit of that, although the highlights on the television. Although I was I'm judging a literary prize at the moment, so I wasn't fully focusing. But
tape it on the satellite.
I think there was a foul. I think just before that incident. So. I think maybe the fact, and I also think I may be wrong here, but at that point Bolton had 10 men, so maybe Cahill, fresh from his England appearance, was trying to equate matters, taking the game, the law, into his own hands, and in some way doing the job that the referee should have done, which was to have stopped the game further up the field.
So are you saying that it was a deliberate act from Cahill?
Well, I think this would go back to we'd probably need one of Professor Clive's in your brain avatar like devices to know exactly what was going on in the head of the newly capped England player who plays for a provincial club. But possibly he felt that they should have had a free kick with 10 men on the edge of Arsenal's box, which could have been a goal scoring opportunity. And that tackle was a reflection of that, inadvertent though it might have been. So I'm not sure quite where that leaves the
Well, of course, if a player deliberately goes in, and you know, sometimes they see the red mist and they want to take a player out, but I think the majority of players are going to the tackle don't really want to take the player out. Well, they don't. Who wants to get a red card? Yes, okay, you might do something really stupid, but I think in the normal field of play, you don't need to get a red card. In fact, this wouldn't work in the same way, by the way, as an avatar. The way that this would be transmitted to the player would be either by a sound in his ear or a vibration, rather like a mobile phone going off, and the intensity of the vibration would inform the player how close they are to the ball and whether they can get the ball or not.
So what I'm hearing is it's an injury prevention device.
Yes, and it's a red card prevention device as well, making the referee's job much easier. I mean, look, the way we're going at the Institute will probably eliminate referees altogether eventually.
So, Clive, what are you going to have for us next time? Do you think there's going to be some issues coming out of this week of European football?
Well, I'm certain there will be. One interesting thing, as usual, will be to compare not just playing styles, but also refereeing styles across Europe, and obviously with a focus on what I can do with my technology, if there are any issues arise. But one thing, actually, which caught my eye over the weekend was poor old Robert Green, who once again... fluffed the ball in front of the goal, and this time it didn't go in, but it went out and caused the defender a lot of problems, and eventually the attacker put it away. So focus for next week: gecko gloves. Yes, all will be revealed.
Oh, that sounds really interesting.
It does, doesn't it, David? Thank you very much, guys. See you next time.
It's been a pleasure.
Likewise.